Mark Tegubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus said in John chapter 11, he is the resurrection and the life. That's what he told us there in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And he said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He is the bread of life. He's the only one that can satisfy the hunger of the human spirit. And, beloved, when you receive him, you receive eternal life, spiritual life. For the Spirit identifies who we really are, beloved. Remember, man is a triune being, as we're told over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. That's 1 Thessalonians, I believe. 5:23. He speaks of our whole spirit and soul and body. He speaks of the whole man, beloved. That man is created in the likeness and image of God, as he told us over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. For you see, beloved, God is one, and yet he's revealed to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet there's such unity, such harmony, that they're one. It's like water, beloved. Water. And we're going to discuss this more fully in the days to come. But water is manifested in three different ways, and yet it is one. It is water. It's manifested as vapor. It's manifested as liquid. It's manifested as solid in the form of ice. All three different forms, and yet it's the same. Oh, beloved, that's a mystery that we'll talk about a little more in the days ahead. But God is making man, or has made man, in his likeness and in his image, so that man is a triune being. He has a spirit like the Holy Spirit, and it's that part of man that the Spirit of God moves into at salvation. As John 3:6 states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's physical birth, and that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is spirit, that's spiritual birth. Marvel not, Jesus said, that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And he's speaking of spiritual birth. This is the means and the ways by which an individual is delivered from the bondage of sin, is set free from death, and is given eternal life, and passes from death into life. And this is what 1 John 3:14 tells us, where we left off last time. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You see, beloved, that's one of the ways we can know we're saved, is that there's a special love that's given to us when we accept Jesus as Savior. I've traveled to many different states of the United States of America, including Alaska and Hawaii. Wherever I've gone, when I've met a Christian, there's been the love of Christ. I've felt a bond with that individual, though I'd never met them before. There was that recognition, that bond of knowing them through the love of Christ and having that love for them. Oh, beloved, that's the love of Christ that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And praise the Lord, that's another gift of eternal life, is the Holy Spirit. God's gift of salvation brings the Holy Spirit into our spirit to indwell, to live in us, to guarantee our salvation until the purchased possession is redeemed, that is, till He gives us a glorified body. And, oh, beloved, all so much is available through Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that I know Jesus as my Savior, that I invited Him into my life over 75 years ago, that He said, come in, Bob, open the door, I'll come in. And I didn't understand all about it. I was just a youngster then. But I remember that glorious day, September the 7th, 1941, when I opened my heart and Jesus Christ moved in and the glory of the Lord flooded my soul. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to know Jesus as Savior. And so, beloved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better. Now, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And we read this over in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 32. And Jesus is speaking to some religious leaders there, the Sadducees. And Jesus says to them in verse 32, speaking of Himself, He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He said, have you not read that concerning Almighty God? He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then He said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Oh, yes, beloved, speaking of His Father, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And, oh, beloved, when you know Jesus as your Savior, you have life eternal. And though you evacuate from this old earth suit that we wear, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Apostle Paul stated. And he ought to know, because he had an out-of-body experience that we're told about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he evacuated from the body that had been stoned. I believe that's when it occurred. And there outside of Lystra, when he was stoned and drug outside the city and left for dead. Oh, beloved, absent from the body, he went into the presence of the Lord and he saw glorious things that he could not relate with human tongue. But from that time on, the Apostle Paul was never satisfied here on this earth. That is, he always was saying, I'd rather depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Because he had a little glimpse of what's ahead for the child of God. Oh, beloved, God is not the God of the dead. For those who have put their faith and trust in Him, He's the God of the living. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and Isaac believed in God and he was declared righteous, and Jacob believed in God, even as Isaac was there bound on that altar where God had told Abraham to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice there on Mount Moriah. And there, as Isaac was bound and placed on that altar, he willingly, ready to be put to death, God stayed the hand of Abraham, and the Bible says in a type he received Isaac back from the dead. Oh yes, beloved, by faith. Because he believed that God was able to raise him from the dead, we're told in the book of Hebrews. Oh yes, beloved, in a type. We see Isaac was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose life was given for you and I, and the Father was the one who put him to death there on that old rugged cross. You recall in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried out, O Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And the Father said, there's no other way, son. You have to die for the sins of mankind. You who knew no sin, as we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. All of our sin was placed upon this sinless Son of God. He alone could die in your place and in my place. And so he willingly laid down his life. There, as the men came to take him away, and he said, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And every one of them fell back. There was a cohort, that is 600 men of the Roman government, the Roman army that had come along with the Jewish leaders that were coming to capture Jesus. And every one of them fell down backwards, beloved, because Jesus is Almighty God. He has power. And he told Peter, put up your sword. Peter had slung his sword, and the guy ducked, and he'd cut off his ear. Jesus picked the ear up, put it back on that man, and it was healed. And Jesus told Peter, put up your sword. Don't you know I could call down 12 legions of angels? But for this time I've been appointed to die for the sins of mankind. That's what he was indicating as he gave himself to die for you and for me. Oh, beloved, have you received him? If not, right now, cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for my sin, that you were buried, that you rose from the grave. Come into my life. Come in, Lord Jesus, and he'll send his Spirit into your spirit to do that work of salvation. Till next time, goodbye.